You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Brighton, Haydock and Wolverhampton on Thursday afternoon. Sandown, Newcastle and Southwell will provide the action in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. I've had a cough and a cold sort of lingering and a bit of a sore throat for 2 weeks. The sore throat's now gone. That might have been due to the darts, perhaps. The cold I'm struggling to shift. The cough I have shifted, but the cold is lingering. And just a typical British summer, really, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about some racing.
Moving on.
That's why we're here. Al-Kazim has been retired. He's suffered an injury and won't race again, but he's got a good career for people to reflect on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he came back into training having firing more blanks than a territorial when he went to Stud originally. A little bit like Star Spangled Banner, I suppose, in that respect. He didn't cover the amount of mares that he was supposed to when he came back into training. I mean, he had a fantastic career. I was lucky enough to see him when he won at the Curragh. In May of 2013, when he won the Tattersalls Gold Cup, he was odds against that day when he lowered the colours of a certain Derby winner, Camelot, no less. That was a part of a vintage summer for him. Obviously, he'd won the Group 3 Gordon Richard Stakes prior to that and subsequently went on to win the Prince of Wales Stakes at Royal Ascot and then won the Eclipse at Sandown. It was a little bit disappointing after that in the Judmont behind Declaration of War. It was a bit of a surprise winner that day, but he kept his form and he was just beaten by the Fugue in a great battle in the Irish Champion Stakes. Finished a very creditable sixth in the Arc. Then he went to Stud. Obviously, he didn't cut it. He came back and he managed to win another Group 3 race at Windsor. And then they tried him quite highly again. Obviously, he was 10th in the Arc last year. He'd finished fifth in the Irish Champion Stakes, and then he had a real old battle with Noble Mission. He only went down by a neck when finishing second behind him in the Kipco Champion Stakes. Things were pretty rosy this year as well. Obviously, he was being aimed up for an autumn campaign. He was second in the Gannet behind Sirius de Zegel on his seasonal return, and then won the Tattersalls Gold Cup for the second time with James Doyle on board, beating Fascinating Rock by a neck. In a good old tussle there. He goes back to Stud now. Interesting to see. I mean, obviously the injury was quite nasty. It's a shame, really. We're not going to see him back in the Champion Stakes in the Arc again. But we'll see what happens now. He goes back to Oak Grove Stud, which is where he was born, of course. So a real credit to Connections and. John Deere won't have had many horses like him previously. He's had the odd good horse, but he certainly won't have many in the future as good as him, I wouldn't have thought either.
No, good horse deserves a good retirement. Well, career at Stud, I suppose, if hopefully that works out for him this time around.
Yeah, I can think of worse ways to spend my retirement.
Yes. Right, let's move on and talk about the Shergar Cup. Injury problems. I've changed the teams a little bit going into it, and the latest injury is Kathy Gannon. She'll miss out from the ladies' team, replaced by Sammy Jo Bell, and she joins Hayley Turner and Emma Jane Wilson on the girls' team. Good news for Sammy Jo Bell to try and make a name for herself on the big stage.
Yeah, obviously she sits, I think she's in about fourth or fifth now in the Apprentice Jockeys Championships. Obviously, there's a few of them, Tom Markham and Cam Hardy, Jack Geraghty and Shane Gray, all around the same sort of mark. But she's had 18 winners this campaign, Sammy Jo Bell. Obviously, if you include the ones before May, it'd be a little bit higher than that. So, you know, she's been in the spotlight and it's at the sort of the lesser meetings, it's nice to see her have a chance on a bit of a bigger stage, which is obviously what she will be getting here, obviously with Hayley Turner and Emma Jane Wilson in that side. And she's ridden more winners than Hayley this year, or certainly in this, in the championship anyway. Obviously, we've only got the tables for the championships rather than the year in the paper. So yeah, full credit to her. Be interesting to see how she gets on. And the girls' team, I think they were second. They nearly won it last year. Whether there should really be a girls' side, if you like, is open to a bit of debate. Whether they should be incorporated into the British team or the, or as in Sammy's case, the Irish team or whatever, or in Emma Jane Wilson's case, the rest of the world team, is open to a bit of debate. But anyway, it's interesting that she's going to get the opportunity to have a bit of a moment in the spotlight, if you like.
Yeah, a bit of jumps news as well before we move on. Many Clouds apparently is returning in good heart, and they're going to aim him at the Hennessy and the Grand National again. It'd be quite something if he could win him again, wouldn't it?
Yeah, traditionally I suppose that the Hennessy is a race that goes to a horse like he was last year as a second season chaser, really. But he'll have a lot more weight, obviously, to carry. But you know, it's nice to see these horses coming back in these races. Obviously, no horse has won the National twice for donkeys years. You've got to go back, you know, to Red Rum to find the last last multiple win. Just shows how difficult a race it's become now, and how much a race it physically takes out of a horse now, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, he will go to the Hennessy with a lot more weight, I should imagine. He'll be using it more as a prep race in terms of, well, I suppose, maybe not actually. I suppose he's going to have to try and win. He'll go there as almost fully tuned up as he can be. Then he'll have a bit of a break. Then it'll be a couple of hurdle runs, perhaps, or he could run him over fences again, really, because it's not going to make any difference to his weight. He's going to have top weight. He had top weight almost last year. So he's going to have top weight again. So he's a big horse. So he's built to carry the weight. Interesting to see how he's got on over the summer, how much the National has left a mark on him, because they weren't going to run him. Obviously, he ran in the Gold Cup not long prior to the National, so it'll be interesting to see how he comes back.
Yeah, he was kept on the go for a long time last season, wasn't he?
He was.
I imagine they'll maybe try and do a bit less than that this year. And apparently, they say he's come back bigger and stronger, which will look out everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
But one final bit of news before we move on to Thursday's action. Ruby Walsh. He's going to go ride in the Australian Grand National.
Yeah, not a race I know anything about. No. I was laughing when I read some of the comments from the trainer. Said he likes heavy ground. Well, their version of heavy would probably be our version of good, one would imagine. Albeit, I suppose they've had quite a bit of controversy with the jumping out in Australia in terms of fatalities over the years, and that's why it's pretty much non-existent almost now. It's banned in some states. Good to see Ruby being recognised for the talent that he is and getting the opportunity to showcase that elsewhere.
Mm. Anyway, let's move on. Thursday's racing is fast approaching. Gary's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at racing at Brighton, Haydock and Sandown, starting in the 3:20 at Brighton, which is the Brighton Challenge Cup, a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 10 here, Gary, but we'll start with Kate Victoria, who's won both starts since the cheek pieces went on.
Yes, obviously was a winner last time out, and the cheek pieces seemingly helped. This is a bit more of an open race, though. He's got a penalty to carry for that, which I don't think will be too easy to carry. There's plenty of other interesting ones. The only three-year-old in the lineup interests me a little bit. Mr. Rock and Roll, who Nicky Mackay has been booked to ride because he's got quite a low weight down there at the bottom. Another horse that's been pretty consistent throughout the season. This race might be right for a bit of an upset, I think. The one that I like is the Gay Cavalier, who ran in a very good race at the July meeting. He actually ran in the final race at the Glorious Goodwood meeting, didn't he? Finishing fifth. Taking a bit of a step down in grade here, John Ryan's charge, with Stevie Donohoe taking the ride. Continues to drop down the weights. He's now racing off a mark, his lowest mark for quite some time, and he's almost back down now to his last winning mark, albeit that came on the all-weather, and to be fair, I suppose all three of his victories have come on the all-weather. But I still think he's feasibly well-treated. And that was an OK run at Goodwood the other day. This is a slightly easier grade than what he's been used to of late. The horse that's ridiculously well-handicapped and hasn't really gone on. He cost a lot of money when he was bought at the sales. He used to be trained by Joe Lyons. There's a horse called Snowmane, who's now in the hands of now in the capable hands of James Given. He's been really disappointing, though. I think it's fair to say he cost a right few quid. I think he cost six figures to Connections. He's been pretty disappointing thus far, but he's so well treated now. He has to be given some sort of consideration. But all things considered, I think this race is probably ripe for a little bit of a shock. So I'm going to go for the Gay Cavalier.
The Gay Cavalier for Gary then. In the 3.20 at Brighton, the 5.10 at Haydock is where we go next. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and three quarters. It's for four-year-olds and older, 12 of them here. Gary, which ones have caught your attention?
There's a few of them, really. This is another wide-open contest. Start at the top, Spice Fair was a good second. Last time out, when last seen last Thursday at Force Last, a little bit suspect about that form. Essentially, he is a little bit well in because he's due to go up 3 pounds in the weights. But even still, I'm willing to pass him over, even though he's likely to be favourite. Castle Coombe's been in good form. Marcus Trigoni's been in good form. Finished third here when last seen. Although that form hasn't worked out particularly well, it has to be said. Rollerston Lass has been kept busy, but whether he might, he won at Chester when he got a good ride by Franny Norton in June, but she continues to progress. But she was fourth when last seen at Newbury. Just wonder whether she might be vulnerable to one or two that are better handicapped. The one that I do think might be better handicapped is the kid, who's not been with John Quinn very long. Was second over the course and distance when last seen for this yard. John Quinn's yard's beginning to hit a little bit of form. He is in the hot section of the hot trainers list in the Racing Post. As I say, was a good second here last time out. And I don't think this race looks any stronger. If anything, it probably looks a tad weaker. Beaten three-quarters of a length by all the wins here. Albeit there wasn't many runners, of course, in that race. But that'll have blown away the cobwebs anyway. This horse has got some decent form here in the past and was a winner at Bath on quickish ground when trained by Tom Dascombe last summer. Obviously had quite a bit of time off. Was off the exactly a year before finishing second here last time out. So any sort of normal improvement from that first effort, that was when the Quinn horses weren't running as well, I think it's fair to say, sort of 2 or 3 weeks ago. Had a bit of a break since then. Comes back, hopefully Sherry Ripe. And apologies, Sean, in advance, but I'm tipping the kid in the 5.10.
The kid then for Gary in the 5.10 at Haydock. Down to Sandown we go for the 7.25 next. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. This one's for the three-year-olds. And we'll start with Muktasa, Gary, who's highest rated in the race. A couple of decent efforts at Newmarket as well, the last two outings.
Yeah, he's finished third the last twice at Newmarket. He's been given a little bit of a break since then. Won a maiden at Newcastle last October. But that placing in decent handicaps at Newmarket reads quite well. Perry Alt finished a good second at Newbury on racecourse debut and then won at Chepstow in May, another one that's been given a bit of a break. Star System won his first two when winning at Sutherland at Ripon, but then ran fairly disappointingly here when last time. Della Blink won over course and distance a fortnight ago now, runs off a £4 higher mark. Rembrandtson is still a maiden, has ran okay in handicaps, but probably remains a little bit vulnerable to some of the improvers in this race. Zamperini's done well this campaign, winning at Wolverhampton in a maiden and then was second over this course and distance just over 3 weeks ago. And Marcano won on Derby, but has been pretty disappointing since in the cheap pieces. Go on him for the first time. Interesting race. Obviously, one or two that are open to a bit of improvement. I think the two at the top are certainly the two that are open to the most improvement. Muktasa might have shown his hand a little bit more rather than Peralt, who makes his handicap debut. So that just tips the balance, the scales in the balance for favouring him. So Perrault in the 7.25.
And on to the final race, we look at the 7.55 at Sandown. This one is a Class 4 handicap. Over 7 furlongs, it's for 3-year-olds and older. We'll start here with Fruity Gary, who returned to winning ways at Leicester last time, made all, wasn't really asked too much of a question, and only £3 higher here.
Ran well at Ascot on return, but then was pretty disappointing here on its second. She was disappointing on her second outing this season, but then dominated a small field at Leicester, and I think the fact that it's drawn two on the inside might well mean that she gets to the front. We've seen in recent weeks these evening meetings at Sandown, it's been crucial to be near the pace. I think I want to be one of the three-year-olds here, that is for sure. I think the other three-year-old that makes any sort of appeal is Gothic Empire, with Frankie Dettori being booked to ride. But hasn't really progressed since that victory at Wolverhampton, when winning fairly easily earlier on in the season. The older horses, I think the one that would interest me most, because I think he's very well handicapped, is Big Whiskey. I know Connections used to think quite a lot of this horse. It's now with John Best, the odd that continues in good form, was second over this course and distance when last seen. Might get the race run to suit. Hopefully Martin Dwyer settles him just in behind Fruity. But that said, Fruity is open to a bit more improvement. He's likely to get the run of the race. Will probably be difficult to pass, so Fruity in the 7.55.
Good work. Let's just have a quick summary then, Gary, as usual, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, in the 3.20 at Brighton, the Gay Cavalier. In the 5.10 at Haydock, the Kid. In the 7.25 at Sandown, Perrault. And in the 7.55 at Sandown, Fruity.
Thanks, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark. We'll do.
There you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Brighton, Haydock and Wolverhampton on Thursday afternoon. Sandown, Newcastle and Southwell will provide the action in the evening. So do tune in for all that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.